Praise the Lord. How many of you know that you're loved by God? Really know that you're loved by God. Not because you just sang it in a song, but know from the very depths of your being. Not because I tell you that and your word tells you that, but because you know that. You know, we can have all these other different avenues telling us that, but we have to receive it and believe it. Amen. And the problem with the body of Christ is a lot of times we don't believe that God loves us. My testimony is that one time in a prayer meeting, when I first got born again, that somebody came to me crying, and they said, "Barbara, do you know how much God loves you?" And arrogantly, I said, "Well, of course I do." And they said, "No, you don't, but one day you really will." And that day came, and I really knew how much He really did love me. That's why I say, do you really know how much He loves you? Or are you just saying yes because that's your proper answer, like I did? Well, Father, we're here. I know that your angelic host are here. I know that your Holy Spirit's here. And I know that you're here just blessing your people right out of their socks tonight. And Father God, I know that you've already opened up their spiritual ears to hear what you're going to say to them tonight, and their spiritual understanding to receive it into their spirit man, Father God. And we plead the blood of Jesus over the word so the enemy cannot come and steal it. Now, Father God, your word says that you finish the works that you started. And tonight I'm asking you, God, to finish the works that you have begun in each and every one of these people. Speak into their lives, Father God, and give them direction. Encourage them in you, Father. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to have another hot week ahead of us. You all know that, don't you? I get told that about 6 times today. So we're going to have a hot week. So get ready for the hot week. And just praise God that at least you have a roof over your head and your goods aren't swimming down the street. And, you know, that you're blessed. And don't complain about the heat. It could be, you know, things could be far worse than what they are. Well, God wants to speak to us tonight about anxiety. And he is going to speak about anxiety, but because of the way he gave the word, I'm going to tell you about anxiety before we go into what he says, because when he starts speaking, he wants participation. All right, so let's talk about anxiety. Now, anxiety is a relatively permanent state of worry and nervousness occurring in a variety of mental disorders, usually accompanied by compulsive behavior or attacks of panic, or what we call, the doctors call, panic attacks. Read that again. Anxiety is a relatively permanent state of worry and nervousness occurring in a variety of mental disorders, usually accompanied by compulsive behavior or attacks of panic. Now, the past few years have been tough ones. We all know that. We can say amen to that. And people are looking for hope and encouragement in the midst of worry and anxiety right now. You read so many things that they're trying to put in place, you know, different things. And if you wouldn't be with God, you'd be all nervous and worrying and carrying on like a fool, wondering how you're going to make it through. But because we are God's people, we aren't going to worry about that, are we? Say no. Thank you. That's the right answer. We all go through times where things are hard and we're distracted by pain and suffering in our lives. It can be so easy to just give in to feelings of worry and negativity. What's going to happen next? And isn't that where we're at? I just have to stop here. You know, today we was talking about healing. And whenever Jesus was walking the earth, he had his 12 disciples, right? Wasn't it with Jesus? And one of his disciples got sick. Was it when Jesus was still walking with him? And they left him behind so he could get healed. So now you can say, oh, and he walked with Jesus. And Jesus had a physician. Luke was a physician, wasn't he? He had a physician in his 12. And I was thinking, Dave, why did you have a physician? All right, there was a doctor traveled with him. See? And I didn't have time to really sit down, but these things were just going through my head today. But I am going to sit down and find out what that was all about. And I can't figure out why the one disciple got sick and was left behind. Why wasn't... Now, I don't know. Was Jesus still walking with them? I don't know. But anyhow, one of the disciples got sick. and they had to leave him behind so he could get better. Now, I want to know why, since these disciples were going around doing all these miracles, even if Jesus wasn't there with them at that time, they were doing all these miracles. Thank you, Brother Chris. He's going to look that up so we get this straight. Why wasn't that disciple healed? Why did they leave him behind to get healed? Come on. Let's just get the whole truth of the word here and let's find out what this is all about. While they're looking that up, I'm going to go on here. When you have it, let me know, Chris. Okay, so I said, we all go through times where things are hard and we're distracted by pain and suffering in our lives. It can be so easy to just give in to feelings of worry and negativity, and you're saying, what's going to happen next? Fear, one of the enemy's most popular weapons that he uses against us, which is worry, anxiety, fear, can overwhelm us with a thick shadow of darkness controlling our every move and decision. So then, fear, one of the enemy's most popular weapons that he uses against us, all right? Worry, anxiety, and fear can overwhelm us with a thick shadow of darkness controlling our every move and decision. I don't want anybody in this room to walk in fear. Fear is not of God. All right? We need to understand that God loves us and God is taking care of us. And he knows everything that's going to go on in our lives from the day he put us in our mother's womb. And we have nothing to fear. All right, Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. This is God speaking. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Will. All right. In 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Every one of your anxieties, your fears, whatever, give them to God and let him take care of them. Isaiah 41:13. Says, I am the Lord your God who hold your right hand, and I tell you, don't be afraid, I will help you. What's he holding? Your right hand. He says, do not be afraid, I will help you. And Philippians 4:4-7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now let's read verse 6 again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If you do that, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, a situation comes up in our life, when the situation comes, it just doesn't touch one thing in your life. It might touch five things in your life. And so what do? You start walking in panic, and you think, God, if you don't take care of this, then it's going to be a snowball effect, and all this stuff is going to be affected. Well, we can't do that no more. God knows it'd be a snowball effect. God knows exactly what he's doing. So we just have to put it in God's hands and let God take care of it. And I speak from experience, all right? I'm just not telling you something that I don't go through myself. All right, now, when we feel anxious and afraid, we can take comfort in knowing that God is reaching out his hand to us to help us trust him and walk with him. See, this is where it's at. When we feel anxious and afraid, we can take comfort in knowing that God is reaching out his hand to help us. So trust him and walk with him. I don't care what's going on in your life. God's already working that thing out. So you just have to go ahead and walk on with him and just trust him, knowing that he's going to take care of all the fine details. We don't know the fine details, do we? We just see the big problem, and that's all we see. But God sees everything from beginning to the end. And so let's give all this stuff to him. And I'm hearing God say again, be anxious for nothing. Some of you are just anxious all the time, and God doesn't want you to be anxious about anything. Give it all to Him. Let Him handle the situations. Let Him do what needs to be done. If you could have done it, you would have already, if you could have taken care of it, you already would have, right? Come on. But you tried, it didn't work, did it? Come on, it didn't work. So let's just give everything to God. When we feel anxious and afraid, we can take comfort in knowing that God is reaching out His hand to us to help us trust Him and walk with Him. Then, while anxiety can feel overpowering or terrifying, we should not fear, but rather trust in a perfect and never-changing love and peace of God. I have somebody in my family that I'm shocked. They have panic attacks all the time. And one day I said to him, I said, you're having panic attacks. Why are you having panic attacks? But see, they can't breathe very well. And so when they all of a sudden can't breathe, they walk in fear that they're going to be all alone and die, not be able to breathe. And so then a panic, and they get anxious, then a panic attack occurs and makes their breathing worse. See how the enemy works here? All right, Psalm 94:19 says, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. See what David said? In the multitude of my anxieties within me, he had a lot of anxieties. He said, your comforts delight my soul. In other words, with all his anxieties, God was comforting him. And he could go on. If you can read the whole chapter, and it explains the whole thing. Now, Billy Graham once said, the Bible is not an option, it's a necessity. This is especially true in times of despair that can lead to anxiety and fear. Really, there's 31 scriptures in the Bible that talks about being anxious and walking in fear, that you really need to get in there and study them, and God will tell you how not to do that. Anxiety can be crippling, but we can replace it with thankful prayers and thoughts and look to Christ for peace. Let's just say that, you know, you have a $1,000 bill that's due. And when you open your checkbook, it says zero. Now, you can really get in anxiety with that, right? But what do you, and fear could set in. What do you have to do? Say, God, here's my checkbook. It says zero, and here's my bill, and it says $1,000. Now, you're going to have to make up the other 1000 because I don't have enough money in there. And, you know, when I was first saved, I went up to up north here to Gary Whetstone's church, and he told about one time when he was broken. You know, they were trying to buy that building, and, well, they were buying it. And so he had been taught that take your wallet out and stomp on it and make the devil get his hands off of it. And he did that, and God supplied the money, the $4 million to pay for that building. So I've always remembered that. So whenever I have a bill and don't have enough money, I said, God, this is your bill. It's not mine. Your word said you're going to take care of me. You know, I manage my money, but if, you know, whenever I'm getting low, and I said, this is your bill. You have to take care of it. I'm your daughter. And then I don't worry about it. And lo and behold, he always comes through every time. All right? It is easy to feel anxious, worried, overwhelmed, or just out of control in our lives, but God wants his children to walk in peace. Jesus talked about worry and anxiety more than a few times, and he reminds us of how much God loves us and how he can give us rest. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. Do you know how many times I've stepped out on my porch, and because we had lots of birds, I said, God, you're feeding that bird and you need to feed me. I put it down. I do. You put clothes on that bird, you know, you clothe that bird with its feathers, so I need some clothes. You need to clothe me, because your word says it, right? Come on. His word says so. So look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his plan of life? So which of you being anxious can add a single hour of pain, of his span of life? I want to ask you something. You know, when you have birds, you put up bird houses for them, don't you? Put up bird feeders. You know, so they're never without a house. And then you put trees in your yard and they get up there and build a nest. So if you're homeless, why can't God do that for you? You don't want him to climb a tree and make a nest up in a tree. But why can't you say, God, take the scripture, say, God, you give this bird a place to live. And we're going to read, but we're more value than a bird. So God, I need a home and I need it now. And I know not only need a home, I need finances, I need a job to help me pay for that home. Right? Come on. And verse 28 says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In other words, God said he made the lilies more beautiful than anything Solomon had, right? But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. All right. If you are worrying, quit. If you hadn't started, don't. Did you find it? Finally, where is it at?
It's in 2 Timothy 4, verse 20. And it talks about Paul leaving Miletus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I left in Miletus sick.
Yes, I got to thinking he wasn't with Jesus. He was just with the disciples. So anyhow, the disciples still had anointings. They were still doing signs, wonders, and miracles, but they left one sick behind. So you see, that's how it works. Frances Hunter, they had the biggest healing ministry there was. And she got that sore in her leg and said, God's healed it. I'm not worried about it. Everybody prayed for it. Well, she about lost her leg, had to go into the hospital. She said, I can't explain why God didn't heal my leg, but the hospital did, so I'm good to go. And she didn't sit and fret about it. She did what she had to do when she was about ready to lose her leg, and off she went. She didn't lose any sleep over it. All right, she didn't wonder why God didn't heal her. She said, he just didn't, and I have to do what I have to do now. All right? George Herbert stated, 100 load of worry will not pay an ounce of debt. Are you all listening to this? 100 load of worry will not pay an ounce of debt. Max Lucado stated, no one can pray and worry at the same time. God's word is clear. Believers are not to be given over to anxiety. But it's not simply a cold, abrupt command to stop worrying. Scripture is clear that we shouldn't focus on the plans, needs, and uncertainties of tomorrow. But it's also clear about where our focus should be instead. This is what Jesus said to his followers, and the same instructions hold true for us today in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The problem with the body of Christ is we want all these things added to us without seeking God's first and his righteousness. Just because you sit in the house of God every service doesn't mean that you're saved. Well, you could still be saved, but you're not living the way you should be to get all the blessings from God. All right? Cord Ten Boom stated, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. There's a lot of truth in that. Don't worry. Trust in God. Have faith in God's plan for your life and trust that he has plans to give you a hope and a future. Don't worry. Trust in God. Have faith in God's plan for your life and trust that he has plans to give you a hope and a future. In Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. For I know the plans I have for you." He knows, he knows, he knows, he knows. Get that down in your spirit. Declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And Vance Havner stated, "Worry, like a rocking chair, will give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere." When the Philistine seized David in Gath, he said in Psalms 56:3, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." He told me, that's a really good scripture. You should read it. Psalm 56:3. "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." And see, this is where the body of Christ fails. When fear or anxiety settles in, they just go all crazy. They don't never put their trust in God. They keep hanging on to that worry. How am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Well, why don't you ask God, how are you? This is your problem, God. You fix it. Your motorcycle. This is your motorcycle, God. You fix it now. Because you said I was going to have a motorcycle business and I have to have a motorcycle. I can't have a tricycle. Right? You need to fix my motorcycle so it doesn't break down on me all the time. Trust him. Come on, just trust him. In Luke 21:14-19 says, "But make up your mind not to worry beforehand." What's it say? "But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. But not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life." In other words, so many people say, "Well, I'm going to go and I'm going blah, 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 blah." You have it all planned out what you're going to say. That's not biblical. You're not, if you're going to go talk to somebody, you don't even think about what you're going to say because you want the Holy Spirit to talk through you to get this thing resolved, and you let God go ahead and take care of it. Too many people go to meetings. "Well, I'm just going to tell them what for when I get there." So you have it all planned out in your head, and you don't even know what the meeting's all about. God might take it a totally different way. Are you listening here? Quit trying to figure out what you're going to say before you get there. All right, worry leads us astray and allows Satan a foothold into our lives. Sin is at its core of worry, missing the mark that God has set for us, then worrying is not living up to God's standard. Worry is a sin. And so when you worry, you miss the mark of God and his word. And you don't live up to God's standard. Jesus made the mark clear, and our sin is failing to believe that God will care for us, even though he promised to do so. There's not too many in the body of Christ can get an A on that. A lot of the body of Christ worry all the time. They're always concerned about what people think about them, what people are going to say about them, and how you're going to counteract, you know, to defend yourself. If you really believe that God will care for you and he's going to take care of you, period, you won't be concerned about what people are saying or doing. You'll just go ahead and be with God. And you'll be doing God's business. And people used to come up to me and I said, "Have you prayed?" "No." "Well, you go home and you pray. You see God's face and then you can come and talk to me about this. But until you do that, I'm not talking to you about this." Because I said, "You're dead wrong in what you're saying, and I'm not going to get into an argument with you about what God's called me forth to do. What's the harm in that? They don't mind coming and getting into your face about stuff, right? Or in your business. So what's the harm in saying, I know you haven't prayed. You need to go home and pray, and then we'll talk. You'll never see them again. They will not come and confront you again." I know. Been there so many times. Be assured God is with you in whatever you face, in the turmoil and struggles, amidst the anxious thoughts and the worries of life. He is there strengthening, helping, and he holds you in his hands. Now, what I said before about telling people, "Did you pray?" See, I know what they're saying is wrong. And I know they're just trying to tear me down and just trying to accuse me. And I know they want me to get into an argument with them. Then I could lose my salvation. So I just say, "You go home and pray. Then you come and talk to me." All right? So make sure you know that what they're talking about is wrong, and make sure, even if it's right, they still need to, if they was really praying, they wouldn't have come to you to begin with. They would have talked over with God and put it in God's hands and allowed God to take care of it. All right? When my first husband divorced me, I was going to work one that morning. I was walking up the ramp, and he was over by the garage, and God said, tell him to go ahead and do what he's planning his heart to do. So I said, I didn't know what he planned in his heart to do. So I told him, God said to go ahead and do what you plan to do in your heart. He said, what? So I repeat, the next day I got a divorce notice. I didn't know that's what he's going to do. Then after the divorce final, he ran around and told everybody I divorced him. But anyhow, see, I didn't get anxious about that. I didn't worry about it. I didn't wonder, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Because God had it under control, and he knew what he was going to do when I told him to carry out his plans. You see this? I could have done all kind of worrying and got all kind of anxious, but I didn't. I just let God have his way in the whole thing. And in the end, it all worked out. I mean, we still stayed divorced, but in the end, it all worked out. And everybody knew the truth. And I didn't care if they knew the truth at all. I didn't really care, because I know who I am, and I know what I do. And if you're going to believe a lie, then you just have to believe the lie. That's the way you need to think, guys. Or you'll always be anxious. You're always going to worry. You're always going to wonder what people are saying about you. What does it matter? What you need to be concerned about is, what does God have to say about me? You know, because he sees you. He knows you. And the enemy's always going to have somebody lie against you. Come on. He is. And you ought to get excited when that happens, because that means you're in God's perfect will. And that enemy is scared to death, and he's got to stop you, or you're going to put an end to him. But this is the way we have to understand the truth of everything. All right? God is greater than all your worries. He gives us the power to live courageously, boldly, fearlessly in this life while we're walking the earth, when many things that surround us would tell us to be afraid, right? His truth whispers strong and sure to the deepest core of our spirits, do not fear. If you're really listening, God will say, get out of fear. Don't you get into doubt and unbelief. Remember when years ago God told me, I was right there about where Alan's at, and I was preaching, and God said to me, if you don't get out of doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your candlestick, young lady. I said, oh, already. So I went home, we had a long talk, and I said, where am I at in doubt and unbelief? So he told me, because I didn't realize I was. I sure get out of that mess. Amen? Come on. How many of you, does he say that kind of stuff to you, and you go home and you find out what he's talking about? All that stuff in your mind, give it to God again. All that stuff in your mind, give it to God again. Replace those fearful thoughts with his words of truth and sleep in peace tonight. He knows what concerns you. He's got you covered. And I said again, because you keep picking them back up again. How do I know that? Because you keep talking about it again. You haven't yet given it to him. John 14:27, peace, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. And he said that when he was getting ready to go to the cross. My peace I give to you, his peace, and he was in perfect peace. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now, this in the green is what God has spoken. Now, this is his prophetic part. I just want to bring all these scripture things out about anxiety, because he wants some participation from this point on, all right? God says, my children, I am a God of peace and comfort. There is never one anxious thought in me or around me. I never give my children anxiety. I only give my children perfect peace. So right there, it tells you, God's telling you that when you get anxious, that's not coming from God. Isn't that what he said? Read that again. My children, I'm a God of peace and comfort. There is never one anxious thought in me or around me. I never give my children anxiety. I only give my children perfect peace. This day, this day. Now, this is this is what he wants you to participate here. I want you to reach your hands toward me. That's towards heaven. That's where he's at. And receive this peace that I so desire to bestow upon each and every one of you. And keep doing that while I'm going to read what else he said. My word tells you that I give you a special peace, not as the world gives, but as I give. Reach out and receive that peace right now. Go ahead, reach out and receive that peace right now.